Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1858, Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher, led a Boston shoe clerk to dedicate his life to Jesus Christ. That clerk's name was Dwight L. Moody, who later became an internationally known evangelist and author. In 1879, Moody was in England, and as Pastor F.B. Meyer heard his message, he became so energized that when asked by Moody to come to America, he readily accepted. And while in America, he was speaking at Northfield College, and there a struggling ministerial student by the name of Wilbur Chapman gained a renewed vision for ministry. Chapman became involved in the YMCA, employed a former baseball player named Billy Sunday to do evangelism work. Sunday eventually conducted a series of services in Charlotte, North Carolina, and his preaching so stirred the hearts of 30 businessmen that they decided to devote a day of prayer for an awakening of faith in Charlotte. And in 1934, they asked a preacher named Mordecai Ham to lead an evangelism event in their city. A farmer named Franklin Graham provided a site for this event, and it was at that event that this farmer's son, Billy, dedicated his life to Christ. Now, don't go writing letters to the synodical president because I've quoted or I've talked about Baptist people here, so just bear that in mind. But what an incredible series of coincidences. Who would have ever dreamed that a Sunday school teacher who told a young man about Jesus would set in motion a chain of events that almost 80 years later would touch the life of Billy Graham, a man who has had the opportunity to share Jesus with nations and leaders around the world. What incredible luck. At least that's what the world would have us believe about those kind of events in life. They're simply luck, or fate, or coincidence. But are they? Is life just a series of unconnected events, one coincidence after another? Well, not according to the Bible. As people of faith, we see that the events of life are guided by God. Guess how many times the word coincidence or any other word like it is found in the Bible? Can somebody take a guess? Zero. None. Not one. Not one event in all of Scripture is ever spoken of as accidental or unintentional. So who would have ever imagined or dreamed that a Sunday school teacher telling a young man about Jesus Christ would have such an impact on our world today? Well, God would. There are no surprises for God. This Wednesday, our Bible reading schedule has us reading one of the most romantic and beautiful stories of the Bible, at least in my opinion. We heard a portion of that story in our Old Testament reading today from the book of Ruth. The backstory of that reading is found in chapter 1. A man named Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons moved to the country of Moab due to a severe famine that was taking place in Israel. Shortly after moving there, Naomi's husband died, and her two sons married two Moabite women. After 10 years, both of her sons had died, leaving her and her daughters-in-law as widows. So Naomi decided to return to Bethlehem, where she would attempt to survive on the good graces of her extended family. When given the option to return to their former homes, one daughter-in-law did. But Ruth refused to leave her mother-in-law. In a beautiful exchange between these two women, Naomi says to Ruth, "Look, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Ruth had come to love Naomi and Naomi's God, and when given the choice, refused to leave her. And chapter 1 then ends with the women returning to Israel. Now, since they were widows and had no land of their own, their only option was to glean the fields, walking behind the harvesters, picking up what grain they might have missed. And that's what Ruth did, and this is how she came to meet Boaz, whom she eventually married. I find it fascinating that the God who can move mountains, heal the sick and the lame, give sight to the blind, provide miraculous feedings, even raise his own son from the dead, chooses to do most of his work in the quiet, everyday events of life. What we see in this little story is that behind the scenes of the lives of these people, God was quietly at work. I think a good definition for coincidence is that a coincidence is a small miracle where God prefers to remain anonymous. Ruth didn't just happen to come to the field of Boaz. And Boaz didn't just happen to show up in the field that day. It was by God's providence, his providing for the needs of the broken people that he loves. God knew what he was doing then, and he still knows what he's doing today in your life and in mine. Now, after the events in Moab, it would have been so easy for Naomi to become despondent. She'd lost everyone near and dear to her, except for Ruth, of course. But Ruth wasn't a blood relative. Although there doesn't seem to be any evidence of this in the text, I could imagine Naomi wondering, why is God doing this to me? What have I done to deserve this? I mean, people think these kind of things under much less trying circumstances. It might just be the greatest challenge for us as God's people of faith is to see, believe, and trust that God is actually behind the scenes working for our best, especially when things get bad. In our epistle lesson this morning, or in the book of Romans, chapter 8, we hear some very encouraging, but I think also very difficult, maybe some of the most difficult words of the Bible to believe and to trust, especially when facing challenging circumstances. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Very few people escape illness, loss of income, death of a loved one, pressures of job and family, loneliness, injustices, or the many other thorns in this life. Being people of faith doesn't exempt us from trouble or pain either. But what it does provide is the opportunity to see God's presence in the midst of the storms and tempests of life. You know, when we're in the midst of troubles, it's very easy to become cynical. And cynicism is the first step toward despair. The first step of the cynic is, I can't believe God can actually bring good out of this situation. And the next step is, I won't believe that God can bring good out of this. But when we begin to despair that even God can work good, it becomes very easy to miss the blessings that God is working. And in Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, we see three shining examples of how trusting God's wisdom can remove cynicism and despair. As a kinsman to Naomi's husband, Boaz was required by law to care for her. Now, he could have done so grudgingly or simply allowed Ruth to glean what little she could from the fields. But Boaz was a man of integrity, and he understood the grace of God. The way he treats this Gentile woman shows that fact. Boaz had absolutely nothing to gain, at least materially, by helping this woman, and no one in the community would think twice if he simply ignored this foreigner. And there's another thing that's important to remember about Ruth. She was a Gentile, but she was also a Gentile from Moab. You may remember reading in the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy that Moab is regularly noted as a nation which opposed the Israelites' attempts to settle in Canaan. And in the book of Judges, Moab regularly oppresses the Israelites. As a member of Israel's longtime enemies, Ruth had to know that things would not go easy for her in this new land. But she was willing to risk rejection and difficulty out of her love for Naomi and her devotion to Naomi's God. And ultimately, we see that Ruth's trust in God's faithfulness was not misplaced. Boaz not only allowed Ruth to glean, but he saw to it that she was able to gather more than enough for herself and Naomi. He also gave Ruth protection from the other workers who might take advantage of a young widow, provided water for her, even invited her to dine with him. This woman could provide nothing for Boaz in return, and nor did he ask for anything. He simply responded to the blessings that God had given him by showing care for another. But again, there's more here than meets the eye. When Boaz shows this kindness to her, Ruth responds by asking, "Why have I found so much favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" And Boaz's answer says as much about Ruth as it does about Boaz. He answered her by saying, "I've been told all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Ruth's love for Naomi led Boaz to grow to love Ruth. In her time of difficulty, Ruth never forgot her mother-in-law. Even when she hit the jackpot of sorts there in the field, she went back to Naomi and shared what she had received. Rather than becoming embittered or cynical by her circumstances, Ruth never forgot to look outside of herself. See, that's what trusting God to care for us will do. Remember that definition of coincidence. A coincidence is a small miracle where God prefers to remain anonymous. And see, that's what stories of like Ruth and Boaz help us to see. Was it coincidence that Ruth happened to remain with Naomi when she returned to Israel? Was it coincidence that it was noticed by others that she selflessly cared for her widowed mother-in-law, even though she was a stranger in a strange land? Was it coincidence that she happened to be in Boaz's field the day that Boaz came out to check on his workers? Of course not. There are no coincidences in the story of Ruth. These were examples of God's hand at work on her behalf. And there are no coincidences in the story of your life either. As God's children, through Jesus Christ, every promise God has made to his people is our promise. He promises that he is at work behind the events of your life to bring blessing out of your trials. And the blessings he will bring may be far beyond your imagination. For Ruth and Boaz, the blessing was that their descendant would be no one less than our Savior. Ruth is one of only two women, both Gentiles, by the way, mentioned in Jesus' genealogy. For a Sunday school teacher in the mid-1800s, the blessing was being one in a line of people who helped Billy Graham come to know that Savior. Neither Ruth nor Boaz nor that Sunday school teacher saw where God's care was going, but God was certainly at work with a longer view than any of them. And what about you and me today? Will we trust that what we're going through, whatever it may well be part of a much bigger plan than we can see or imagine? No matter what your circumstance, no matter what your trials, no matter what you may face in the future, no matter what you may be facing right now, the seeds of faith that have been planted in your heart, the seeds of faith that you plant in the hearts of your family, friends, neighbors, will take root and bear fruit in ways that God sees, even if you don't. That's his promise. And that's what trust in His care clings to, even in our most difficult times. Amen.